Tonight, if you have your Bibles, I would like to ask you to open them to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and reading it, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let's stop there and ask the Lord's blessing again on the service. Father, we're grateful to be in this place tonight. And we're grateful for each and every person who has come here. And we pray your blessings upon us, Lord, as we open your word. We know that these words are eternal. Eternally settled in heaven. And we need your help, Lord, to understand the message that you have for each and every heart. So we do pray that you'll just help us to meditate and to try to think, with your help, try to think your thoughts after you. And we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. I want to bring you a message tonight called The Thankful Christian. The Thankful Christian. The subject of thanksgiving is mentioned about 45 times in the Old Testament. God gave special instructions for the thanksgiving offerings, and those are found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 7. They were associated with the peace offerings, which were also called thanks offerings. And praise and thanksgiving also stands out in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah and the revival that God gave during his times. In the days of Nehemiah, the king of Syria, whose court Nehemiah was serving under, he gave Nehemiah permission to return and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And it was in those times, as you read the book of Nehemiah, that you'll find that praise and thanksgiving were especially emphasized. God's prophets in the Old Testament, they prophesied of times of thanksgiving, special thanksgiving, as that would be a part of Christ's kingdom, the kingdom that he would come and set up upon this earth. For example, Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 3 says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." There's going to be continuous thanksgiving in heaven. We read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, that all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto our God forever and ever." And in the New Testament, when we come to the New Testament, the importance of thanksgiving was also mentioned about 45 times. This past Sunday morning, Pastor Garrison's Thanksgiving message, you remember, is from the book of Leviticus, and we looked at that key, the first mention in the Bible of the word thanksgiving. because that's the key. It unlocks the key to that subject throughout the Bible. And so, and in Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 12, it was connected with sacrifice. And then we went over to the New Testament in that service in 1 Corinthians with the institution of the Lord's Supper. And in that message, if you'll recall, the Lord was giving thanks. He was giving thanks that He would suffer, that He would offer Himself as a sacrifice for our sins, that His blood would be shed upon the cross of Calvary. And when I came to church last Sunday, I came from the nursing home service that I just had. I got here about the time that the service started, with no idea what Charles was speaking on. But what he preached was, I was shocked. It was almost word. The message was identical to the Thanksgiving message that I had brought to the nursing home. Only I used this text that we read here in Matthew. And of course, we've heard many times in the church that, you know, even visiting speakers may come that haven't been here in a long time, and they'll preach a message that's been being preached here, a theme that's been being preached here. We experience that. We experience that with one another when we're just fellowshipping, and somebody says, well, I've been studying that same passage in the Lord's, and we share what the Lord has been showing to us. And but the point about in talking to Charles is that we both acknowledged that neither of us had ever quite viewed that passage in that way, that in the way that Christ expressed Himself, that He was thankful for the sufferings that He'd go through on the cross. And so we read here in Matthew chapter 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Christ gave thanks. This was the Last Supper gathered there. He was soon to go out and to be nailed to the cross, to shed every drop of blood for the remission of our sins. And so he was giving thanks for that, for the payment of sin, to place His life in the place of our life. We should have been nailed to that cross. He was the innocent Lamb of God, our substitute, God's Lamb. John the Baptist, when the Lord Jesus came out to the River Jordan to be baptized, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so He was thankful to be able to suffer that awful, dreadful sacrifice, that ultimate sacrifice. We read in John's Gospel, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And so what does this mean to us? Well, first of all, it just gives us an appreciation that our Savior, When He was facing drinking the dregs of that cup, that awful cup of our sins, He was thankful to do it. That shows His love for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, and when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples, He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So, presumably, we're all thankful for many things, especially this time of the year. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. It's a time of gathering together with family and friends, and and just enjoying God's blessings. But if we're going to be Christ-like, we'll be thankful for something else tomorrow. And actually every day we should be. We'll be thankful as Christ was here at the Last Supper. We'll be thankful to deny ourselves. Deny self. Deny self. Deny or die to that old wicked king self, the old nature, who will never surrender to God. That old nature within every human being. It's the nature that Adam, we inherited it from Adam. When Adam fell in the garden and Eve, the whole human race fell. We're all descendants of Adam, everyone that's ever been on this earth. And we inherited that fallen nature. And that fallen nature will do anything. Adam and Eve, they said, well, look, we're in trouble. Well, I've got a solution. You see that fig tree? Those are some nice leaves. We'll sow fig leaves. And we'll cover our shame and our sin. They were trying to work their way back into favor with God. God would not accept that. God does not accept human works. God had to shed the blood of an innocent sacrifice, a lamb, and make coats of skins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. So, what about you, Christian? I mean, really, when we think about it, we thank God for many things in our devotions. And rightfully so. We thank God for His blessings. We thank God when we're sick, He raises us up. But this is on a whole different level here. If we're going to be Christ-like, we'll be thankful for being able to put that old nature on the cross every day in our lives, to put it to death. He said, take up your cross. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross. We have a cross. And that's what we need to do. Is that what you're thankful for? Have you ever stopped like the Lord Jesus did at the Last Supper and said, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity today to go out and die to myself and take up my cross. I thank you for that. Because that's what you told me to do. So, it's what Christ gave thanks for. And He says, by following me, you have a cross to die on. We know what the cross in the Bible was all about. It was the place of death. The cross is the place of death. And the Lord Jesus says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. It was the place where the criminal, a real person, just like you, just like me, guilty of crimes against humanity and heaven. The cross was the place where they went out to die. They went out to die on the cross. Is this the kind of thanksgiving? Is this the kind of thankfulness in any way that will fill our hearts at Thanksgiving? And not only that day, but every day of the year. Is that the kind of thankfulness that we have? It should be. It should be. We name the name of Christ, who told us to take up our cross and to die daily. I think it was Mr. Creech or the pastor recently that told them what Pastor Kelly said to them once, and I think I've heard him say this. I'm praying for you, Pastor Kelly would say, I'm praying for you that you'll die. And he would just look at you just to say, I'm praying for you that you'll die. That's what the Lord Jesus did. I'm praying for you that you'll die and that you'll be thankful to die. The Lord Jesus added, and that you'll be thankful to die. He took up the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink ye all of it. This is the blood of my New Testament, of the New Testament." And so to lay down our lives, the sacrifice, that's the greatest love you can give. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." So it follows, therefore, that the greatest thanksgiving we could ever express, the greatest thanksgiving, has to be the thankfulness to be able to lay down our lives in the service of God. That's the greatest love. That's the greatest expression of thanksgiving. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God. He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another, for the brethren." So it's God's will. It's God's will for every Christian to learn how to give thanks for all things. He says that. And Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and this is what he told them: "In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Paul wrote the church at Ephesus and said, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul wrote the church at Philippi and said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and he said, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." This giving thanks, it goes far deeper than the enjoyable times we have when Thanksgiving comes. There's a deep personal thanksgiving that we owe to God. He laid down His life. He said, if you're going to take up your cross and follow me, you'll do the same. I'm thankful as I think about life and the world and salvation. Some people have it. Many people don't. I'm thankful that salvation is all of Christ. There's few people that truly understand that. There's always, in the religious world, in the denominations, there's always things that people want to do to add to Christ's work. When Christ died, He said, "It is finished." We can't add anything to what Christ did. We either come to Him and receive that salvation, or we don't have salvation. I'm thankful for that. You know, we read in the Old Testament, in the prophet Jonah. Jonah was on the ship fleeing away from what God had told him to go and preach to the Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm not doing that. He went the opposite direction. And they cast him off the ship, and a whale swallowed him. And the Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, "From the belly of the whale that swallowed him, Jonah prayed." And this was his prayer: "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, salvation is of the Lord. That's what people need to understand. Salvation is of the Lord. David, the psalmist, said in Psalm chapter 3 and verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We don't get salvation from the church or from the pastor or preachers. Some of what's going on in this day and age is just unbelievable. David said in the Psalms, he that is our God is the God of salvation. The New Testament says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. And understanding this, understanding the gospel, and receiving Christ is the most important thing in your life. And in the life of everyone you know. Because in the gospel and in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's victory. There's victory over death for the believer. There's victory over the grave for the believer. Death is only a shadow to the believer. Only a shadow. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He called it the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We mentioned Paul's verse to the church at Philippi, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There is no care. There is no burden. There is no trial. There's no problem in your life that's outside the reach of prayer to God. God will hear the prayer of the humble heart. God is touched. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and we have them from the cradle to the grave. Infirmities. That word careful, be careful for nothing. It means, that word careful means to be anxious. It's a sin for a Christian to allow life's affairs and life's events and the pressures of life to just consume us, consume our thoughts to the point that we can't even serve the Lord. That's a sin. The Lord said, be anxious for nothing. God is still sitting on His throne. He knows every thought of every heart of every person on planet Earth. He's the omnipotent. He has all power, all wisdom. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And as He looks upon you, as He looks upon me, He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You remember in the Gospels, the story of Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41, Jesus said, Martha, Martha. I don't know if that's the way He said it, but that's the way we typically hear it. Martha, Martha. You're careful and troubled and disturbed about many things, Martha. You're worried, you're concerned, you're bothered. It's not a burden the Lord laid on the Lord didn't lay that burden on Martha. And neither does the burdens that consume us sometimes. The Lord's not laying those burdens on us. All these cares. We're anxious about this. What's going to happen to this? The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says in that passage, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. She was really troubled. Just like it's so easy for us to get. Which is a sin. The Lord said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The Bible says to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Why not let God's peace fill us and rule and lead us and guide us? Why not do that? It seems like that's a much better solution to daily life than to be all encumbered about all of life's problems like Martha was. Philippians 4:7, probably a verse that many of us have used as a memory verse. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. There's nothing in this world and in our lives and in our hearts and thoughts that is beyond the providence of God to do something about. All we need to do is carry it to the Lord. To be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. The writer in Hebrews said, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. It's a sacrifice. And the Lord is that example. He's our example. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples. This is my body. Take it and eat it. He took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins for many. He gave thanks that he would sacrifice his life for us. You know, I'm thankful also for salvation, that it's of the Lord. It's not of us. I'm thankful for being in a church that God has called me to attend. You know, sound New Testament Christ-honoring churches separated from this world, sound in doctrine, they're getting very rare to find. Very rare. If you've attended this church for very long, you should have learned that where a Christian attends church is the same as every other decision in the Christian life. There's a perfect will of God and there's a permissive will of God. And every humble, thankful, prayerful, yielded Christian who will study his Bible and believes the Bible and will allow God to lead him or her to the church of his choosing. That's the perfect will of God. You know, the New Testament church is compared to a body with many members. We didn't get to choose the family to which we would be born in. God in his providence placed us in the family that we're in, the earthly family, our earthly families. But it's kind of like the old Baskin-Robbins comparison. You've probably been to a Baskin-Robbins. You know, people like Baskin-Robbins. And they sort of like Baskin-Robbins' style of Christianity, too. A lot of people like that. You go to the Baskin-Robbins store, there's lots of flavors to try. You might get used to one of them, and you decide it's time to switch to another one. There's always a taste that will suit any and everybody. That might be fine for going down to the ice cream store. That might be a fine way to do it. You get tired of a flavor, then you just try another flavor. Maybe you try a different ice cream store. That's fine for going to the ice cream store, but it's a disaster. It is a disastrous way to try to go through this world. A world where the Christian has to wrestle not against choosing which flavor you're going to have of the month, but a world where the Christian has to wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You better be in the right place to come out on the right side of those kinds of battles. Every decision in life has a consequence. The large ones, the small ones, every decision in life, it has a consequence. And that's why in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, it's amazing how it's our own choice. You want to be a thankful Christian? It's right out there in front of you. There's just endless things to be thankful for. All we have to do is just meditate upon them. There's endless things. And there's really nothing that we have to murmur about like Martha was. There's nothing that we have to. So the choice is ours. It's better to seek the kinds of decisions, to have a prayerful heart, to be in a spirit of prayer, not only when we get up in the morning for our devotion and then we go out our way, through the day. I like to think about that. I'm ashamed to admit I don't do it as often as I should. Christ is the Spirit of Christ. Christ Himself is with me every moment of every day, and I can fellowship with Him. I can just talk to Him. We can have a prayerful, humble heart and just wait on God and His leading, seek His will. I'm thankful for this country that we live in. One of the things I'm thankful about this country is that God has not yet judged it, but America is going to be judged, and more likely sooner than later. So I'd encourage each and every one of us this Thanksgiving to enjoy the blessings of Thanksgiving. The times of fellowship, the times of communion. It's just the Christian can be thankful. So this Thanksgiving, let's just give some serious prayerful thought about what it means to be a Christian, to be a thankful Christian, and to spread that thankfulness around. It's contagious. It sort of rubs off on people. You know, they see somebody and they say, boy, that he just seems like he's thankful about things that I don't even think about. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful that you so loved this world of sinners, world of rebels. You said all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Rebels against not God's way. We wanted our way. And we're thankful tonight that our Lord Jesus Christ, at the Last Supper, he gave thanks. And he told his disciples to take the cup and drink all of it. This is the blood of the New Testament. He was thankful to go out and shed his blood to experience the cruelty that no one in this world has ever experienced on the cross. And it was because he loved us. And we're just so grateful about that. If we don't think about a whole lot of other things this Thanksgiving to be thankful for, help us to think about that. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.